Chapter 55. Our Path Through the Flame. Battle Barge Charybdis Bridge. Darkness prevailed across the bridge, alleviated slightly by the low red light of lumens. With most of the bridge crew dead, it was sparsely occupied. Lieutenant Essenzi stood at the helm, waiting for Odysseus' order. The shipmaster had returned to his throne, but was a brooding presence behind her on the command dais. Circe had taken her place in the Novatum in the cloistered vaults above the bridge, and all knew what that meant. This was to be her last journey. Petty officers and scavenged servitors attended the Charybdis's other essential systems. They would not need to do much. As soon as they had translated back into the warp and the storm, Faith would have to do the rest. Varkir was the focus of that Faith. He cut a lonely figure, even amongst his salamander's brothers. Several armoured silhouettes stood at readiness around the bridge. Two held the entranceway, the blast door firmly sealed behind Dakar and Abidemi, and the rest were stationed in the deck that sat below the command throne. There was not a warrior amongst them who did not have a hand on the pommel of his sword or hold his bolter braced across his chest. "Approaching Mandeville Point," said Essenzi, the sound of her voice breaking up the monotonous refrain of the ship's active consoles.
"Gargo,"
Numeon uttered through the Legion vox feed to summon the Black Smiter. "Brace for warp translation."
"Generatorium is secure. All is in readiness," the Black Smiter replied.
He had taken what remained of Zon's combat servitors and engine seers and raised a defensive cordon in the lower decks. He did so to honor the Tech Marine and in some way atone for his death. Both Morgana and Baduk joined him, but there had been no sign of their sergeant. Since he had absented himself from the Igneum, Rekor Zathen's movements were unknown. Numeon relayed that he understood and turned to Varkir.
"Brother Chaplain," he said, "we are in your hands now."
Varkir nodded. He clasped his Crozius in both hands, holding it before his skull mask like an icon. A flare of energy rippled down the haft and across the head. He used it to ignite the brazier that had been set before him. Flames surged violently into life, their crackling embers lighting up the bridge. Shadows crept along the walls, and the scent of burning filled the air. On the deck where Varkir was kneeling, Ushaman had placed a circle of warding and communion. The librarian was also kneeling, also surrounded by sigils of the arcane, his circle entwined with that of Varkir, but behind the chaplain.
"Circe,"
said Ushaman, his voice already resonant with power and an eldritch cerulean glow emanating from his eyes.
"I am here."
"Steel yourself, find my mind, and follow it to Varkir's. There will be pain, sister."
"I am not afraid of pain."
Ushaman smiled.
"You are as fearless as any legionary I have known."
The blaze took hold and rose into a pillar of flame. Numeon looked into it but could not see what Varkir beheld. Within, somewhere, was Nocturne, a path through the fire, a beacon. They had but to burn through the darkness and reach it. If asked, he could not explain it. He had no answer to Zathen's declamations of madness. It was the will of Vulcan, a tempering of body, mind, and spirit that Numeon alone had to endure in order to inspire others. In the few seconds that remained before translation, he remembered the dead and vowed that their sacrifices would have meaning. From the very beginning of the war, after the bombs had begun to fall and the bonds of brotherhood were forever shattered, their father had been lost to them. They were a much diminished legion, if not in pride, then in number. Vulcan would give them purpose again, not as the political tools of the avenging sun or the willing partners of the Iron Tenth in grief-stricken self-annihilation, but as the Drakes, as they were meant to be. If the Salamanders were to survive, then so must Vulcan. Numeon pulled Drokoros from its scabbard with a low scrape of metal against Drake hide, feeling the weight of the moment. His path had never been clearer. Terra was gone, behind them now. He held his blade aloft for all to see, and the red light caught viscerally on the fanged blade.
Know this, sons and daughters of Nocturne. Vulcan is with us. All our suffering, our loss and pain have been about this moment. Hold firm to the mast, lash your courage to it with bonds of brotherhood and belief, and we shall see our faith rewarded. No darkness can smother all light. A flame, however small, shall always endure. Let it not be extinguished. Believe, and we shall prevail.
Across from him, Zetos swung his hammer from off his back and planted it, pommel first, in front of him, holding on two-handed.
Brothers, he intoned.
Every salamander on deck unsheathed his sword, if he had one. Racked bolter slides sounded in a cacophony of clacking metal.
Rendezvous with Mandeville Point imminent, shipmaster, said Essenzi.
Odysseon did not reply. He sat hunched upon his throne, chin rested on a clenched fist. His eyes were on Valkyr as he stared into the flame.
At your order, Lord Chaplain, he said, as hollow as any man about to lose everything. And may the Emperor protect all our souls.
Vulcan lives, said Numeon,
and heard his words echoed solemnly by each of his brothers in unison.
Vulcan lives!
The fire roared, so loud it almost drowned out Valkyr's command.
Now,
he said, and the Charybdis plunged back into the ruin storm. It happened so suddenly that Cor Gallic almost missed it. The preacher was kneeling at one of the altars, enrobed and no longer wearing his battle plate. He had come here to gather his strength, but also to search. The sliver of fulgurite in his hand burned, and as he allowed it to lie flat upon his searing flesh, he saw it turn like a compass needle. He spoke in an awe-struck whisper.
Miraculous!
Cor Gallic knew much of the Empyrean tides, but the warp was still an ocean, one that two ships might sail forever and never find one another. But his lodestone had shown him what he needed, better than any humble augur or sensorium. He activated the vox.
Degat, summon your warriors! I believe I have what we seek, a thread that will lead us to them.
The word-bearer's locator rune placed him in the Monarchia's apothecarian, but he signalled an affirmative. Cor Gallic smiled thinly as he eyed the floating servo skull that had not left him since their return to the ship several hours ago. All that time he had plied the warp tides, aimlessly seeking, but for the sliver, he might have missed the Charybdis. He blinked once to engage the hololith. Light coursed from the servo skull's eye sockets, bathing Cor Gallic's genuflecting form and hailing the Reaper's shroud at the same time. After a few moments, the mouth of the skull clacked open, and Lestigon's image was projected in grainy monochrome.
Speak, preacher!
I have found them.
An ugly smile split the Death Guard's rad-scarred lips, vile even across the hololith.
Then they have reached their end. Do your part now, preacher, and I will honor our agreement. Fail again, and your suffering will be profound. I will send a ship for you. Be ready for it.
A ship?
Asked Cor Gallic, trying to fight down a sudden sense of unease rising in his gut.
What for?
I want you aboard the Reaper's Shroud whilst you are still useful. I may have to sacrifice your vessel to stop them. Be ready.
Lestigon cut the feed, returning the servo skull to its macabre state of unlife. Regardless of what the Death Guard wanted, Cor Gallic knew he had to stop the Charybdis while it was still in the warp. If nothing else, his ship and a ready means of escaping the Death Guard depended on it. He suspected Magnus's hand in the Salamander's salvation, but not one to see a gift so casually scorned the Primarch would not help them again.
You believe you can breach the veil, he said to himself.
Why else would the Drakes have returned if they did not harbor some realistic hope of success? Somehow they had found a way to see through the etheric tides without the Astronomicon. During the assault on the Generatorium, as he had come aboard, Cor Gallic had felt the mind of another psyker. With the fulgurite sliver psychically tethered to its point of origin, he could find that mind again. Entering the ruin storm a second time, it had to be weak, vulnerable. A mind wandering in dark places always was.
Old friend, he muttered as he drew forth the Azernoth blade, I have need of you.
He had to move fast. The ship Lestigon had sent for him would not be long. It would take pain and blood. It always did. Cor Gallic gently pulled open his robes, exposing the bare skin of his chest. Scars heaped atop scars, not all battle wounds. Murmuring the rites of the sacred octed, he began to carve.